everybody. I think this is episode 36 of the Shitty Shark Show, and we're here to talk about a couple of movies that are really shitty. But we'll get to that later on. As always, the crew is here, Maddie, Keith, and Monster.
Hello. How's it going? Good.
Is everybody having fun?
Always.
Excellent. All right, so I got some shark bites. You got some shark bites. Let's do some shark bites. We'll start with Keith. No shitty shark poetry.
I'll try not to. Sometimes I might throw it back in there eventually and everything. So eventually here. But today I'm talking about shark's eyes. They are freaking amazing. They can see it. They can see at night. They got extra skin behind their eyeballs, a little glare that helps them see at night. They're night sharks, so if you're going swimming in the ocean at night, a shark might get you.
Yep, that's true. Sharks might get you. Hey, Keith, I got a joke for you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How do fish get high?
I don't know. How do they get high?
Seaweed.
Oh,
I see.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Specifically for Keith.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll smoke one for a shark.
That.
Yeah.
Let your shark bite.
All right. So, since I have a little bit of trivia, because Shark Week's coming up, in case you guys didn't know. So I wanted to talk about the first episode of Shark Week. Do you guys know when that premiered?
No.
No idea.
July 17th, 1988. And the first Shark Week episode was called Caged in Fear, which was a science history piece. So I think that's super cool because we're coming up. And I was born in 1988. Maybe that makes sense why I love sharks so much.
That year I graduated high school. Oh, fuck.
Ways to make you feel home. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks a boot, Daddy.
But, you know, I love Shark Week, and it's coming up, so I just think that's fascinating. It's been around so long.
So, Maddie, I also picked a special joke for you.
Oh, perfect. I can't wait.
Do you know what type of coordination Whitney Houston was best known for?
No.
Hand eye.
Oh my god.
Hand eye coordination.
Of course.
Yeah. See? I know you like it in music, so I thought, hey, I'll get a music joke.
I love it.
For that I will always hate you.
What? You know, everybody's always happy when I get a chance to sing on the program.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. My shark bite. I thought it was super interesting. Not all sharks, but many sharks have a unique thing they do when they're frightened. Do you know what that is? Anybody?
Bite you.
No.
I have no clue.
Many different shark breeds, when they are frightened, will swim inexplicably in a figure eight. They will. They'll swim a figure eight.
That is really interesting. I've never heard
that. Yeah, I thought that was weird.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Monster, I guess it's your turn. You always get to go last.
Yeah, you know I always got a couple. I actually found this. This is from posted 3 hours ago, and it comes via WCTV. I can't find what that acronym stands for necessarily, or whatever that is. But it's in Taylor County, Florida, of course. but there was a girl who suffered injuries from a shark attack at Kenton Beach on Thursday afternoon. It says, said the family member saw it happening and they jumped in the water and no pun intended here, but it says they beat the shark off of her until she was free.
Hey now.
Now that's a good wording.
But yeah, it says, you know, she was taken to the shore and firefighters and EMS helped her out and stuff, and she was flown to the hospital, and she said she was only in about 5 feet deep water when the shark attacked and bit her. It was a 9-foot long shark. Doesn't say what kind, but yeah. So, and then my other one I have too is a great white was spotted off of a fishing boat or near a fishing boat off of the coast of New Jersey, less than a mile off the coast of New Jersey. So watch out for all you out there in New Jersey, because there's apparently a great white swimming around out there somewhere.
Well, watch out for those of you in New Jersey, because you're in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make them part of the Jersey Shore. It was, Jersey Shore. Estimated
12 feet length, so. And, hey. And about 1,000 pounds. So 12 feet and about 1,000 pounds swimming around out there on the shore of Jersey, so better watch out.
I wonder if anybody's going to beat that one off. Hey, Monster.
Yeah.
Monster. Did you hear? Did you hear Keith has a new girlfriend?
No, huh?
Yeah. Keith was with his girlfriend the other night, and he asked her if he was the only one she'd ever been with, and she assured him that the rest were all sevens and eights. Come on, that's funny.
She that's loves me, though. I don't care.
Hey, Keith. Keith, let me ask you a question, Keith.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, do you know what breed of dog can jump higher than a skyscraper?
What?
Do you know what breed of dog can jump higher than a skyscraper?
I have no idea.
Any of them. Skyscrapers can't jump.
Ah, damn.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, come on.
I want you to think Demi Lovato's skyscrapers real quick.
Oh, God.
Who Demi Lovato is.
That was my friend Brittany's, like, favorite Demi Lovato song. But anyway.
That's a good song.
It is a good song, actually.
Yeah, yeah, see, I'm much older than you guys. I don't know the Justin Bieber.
We talked about earlier.
Huh?
So we talked about earlier.
You don't know the Biebs or Swiffler or any of those?
Swiffler?
Did you guys hear, speaking of rock and roll, did you hear that somebody dug up Jim Morrison's grave?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. They opened the casket and he popped up with a piece of paper and an eraser. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, decomposing.
Oh, wow.
That was actually pretty good, dude. I'll give you that one.
Have to bones, like in
I long. Love your jokes.
I gotta ask y'all, how did we end up with a double feature of Bull Shark and Apex Predators?
Someone thought it was a good idea to do a double feature instead of a list.
Yeah, exactly.
I got sick of the list. I said it, and they just went off the rails with it.
Somebody got put on the spot to pick a second movie when they only had one that they were going to pick, and they picked the second one.
One you were going to pick anyway was Apex Predators, right?
Yes, but, however, I didn't realize that the other one I was going to pick was going to be just as bad. If I would have known, I would have picked something better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. We still got to review them, but I was expecting, a double versus or something like that, but they were two good movies.
I'll say this about Bull Shark. At least there's a shark in it.
Yeah.
At least you get, I mean, it's a shitty CGI shark, but, you know. All right.
Well, there's a fucking Apex Predators, too, but, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I guess we should... go ahead and take the break, come back and talk about the first of the two movies we're going to cover, and we'll go ahead and get Apex Predators out of the way. How's everybody feel about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, okay, we'll be back right after this.
Enter Death's waiting room, if you dare.
No!
Below the crypt. lies the vault of horror. A treasure chest of the macabre, filled with madness, voodoo, vampires, torture, and terror. All the things that make life worth leaving. The Vault of Horror, from Cinerama Releasing, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent. The Vault of Horror, it has all the things that make life worth leaving.
Hey, we're back. We're back, and the first of the two movies we're going to talk about this episode is from director, producer, nightmare maker, pain in my butt, Dustin Ferguson. So this one's available on Prime Video, and it's called Apex Predators. Monster, do you want to do the plot synopsis for both movies, or do you want me to take one of them off your hands?
It's up to you, man, whatever. I mean, there's really no plot synopsis to either movie, essentially, but...
All right, I'll do Apex Predators. I'll do Apex Predators.
All right. Try to, but you can't. So,
in Apex Predators, we get a rowboat in Tijuana, Mexico. Some dudes are scuba diving, and then we're in California. We see some boobs. That's nice. Then we go back to stock footage of the ocean. And then we go back to one of the ladies from earlier, and she finds a hand on the beach, and then the credits kick in, and then we see the lifeguard getting yelled at for leaving the beach. I figure he'll be important later. Spoilers, he's not. And then there's a guy named Detective Burns. He's the one yelling at the lifeguard. He's like, there's pieces of a girl that washed up on a beach. So there's pieces of a girl that washed up on the beach after she got into the swim in the ocean. And then we get a radio guy talking about the girl washing up on the beach. He'll probably be important later. Spoilers, he's not. And then we see some people at the beach. And when I say people at the beach, I mean somebody just walked down the beach with a camera. And there's a bunch of people in this movie that probably don't realize they're in a shitty movie.
I didn't find waivers, but
yeah, there's some random ladies talking to a guy on his phone. They know they're in the movie. Then we see Sean C. Phillips watching a dolphin show, and then some more walking around. So much padding in this movie. Then we see some people walking down the street some more. Then there's a fish tank and a ceiling fan and a cat. And then there's a dude watching television. I think it was a commercial. That's got to be important later, right? No.
Spoilers.
Then we see actually a really pretty shot of the sunset. But it, like, is a whole, you know, I don't know if you all have ever been forced to watch a sunset with your significant other. And after about 30 seconds, like, yeah, cool, the sun's going down. That's awesome. Well, that movie made me feel like that, too, because it just sits and watches it. Then we switch back to underwater footage, stock footage. And then the one guy who was talking on the phone apparently has an ex-girlfriend, and she doesn't like his new current lady. So she pushes the current lady off the pier. Well, you know, something obviously will happen about that because, I mean, maybe the shark hits her and stuff. No, later on we see her get out of the shower with completely dry hair. And that goes nowhere. They cut away, and then somebody falls off a boat because somebody else decides to go hunt for the shark that nobody's supposed to know is out there. And they get eaten, theoretically, because you don't see it. 40 minutes in, and right, we haven't seen any attacks and blood. By the way, that's the first 40 minutes of the movie. Yeah. The rest
of the movie follows suit.
Yeah. And then we get more stock footage of the ocean. We get to watch a sunset again because, you know, what else are you going to do? And you know, I've realized, according to this movie, do you know that you don't need in a shark flick? A shark, blood, you know, victims. And then the movie finishes off with 8 minutes of credits, because to get to that magical hour and 10 minute mark, just stick 8 minutes of credits on the end. So in reality, there's 62 minutes minus the 4 or 5 minutes of opening credits. So he only had to fill up less than an hour. And it's basically people doing nothing. There's kind of a story about a shark out there somewhere, and there's a couple of shots of like a paper mache shark. But there's really nothing here. This is, I'd say, unexpected, but this particular director likes to pad his stuff with stock footage. There's also like really intrusive metal music, which was really annoying. But then I realized I'd rather have that awful metal music than the City Bros. What the fuck is the City Bros rap group? This is basically somebody took their camera out and shot. Most of this movie is them standing on the beach or walking down a pier or walking around or watching Sean C. Phillips watch a dolphin show. Guys, wow. And when they do try to explain the movie, they say the sharks are forming a mob mentality, which, what? And they're like, well, maybe they have ESP. And I'm like, what the fuck? ESP? I mean, okay, fine. Explain how those two things are in the plot. But it's just like a throwaway line, I guess, to sort of justify what they're doing here. I don't know. The only thing I'll ever remember about this is Brink Stevens shows up for a hot second, and I hope she got paid. But yeah, guys, wow. What did you think about this one?
I mean, I just thought it was like an indie film, and like they went, some of those indie films, they go a little darker, but this one stuck through. I thought it was good. I love metal music. I'm a big metal guy. I jump in pits and stuff like that. I dug that.
I like metal music too. I'm just saying this is the most generic, loud, bland stuff. There's like this unique sort of like, it sounds cool and we're just going to stick it in whatever scene that we have to fill it in. And it doesn't even match the scene, but this is just really bland stuff. I'm actually a metalhead myself. So
totally. That's fucking rad. But it's like, it was more of an indie film, you know what I mean? So I think they were going for that. I think it's the newer kind of indie films too. It ain't like the older indie films or nothing like that. And they go for a plot, but that's what they base the whole movie off of, is the shark. And then they go and do whatever they want. That can get confusing, but, and get a little dark, but they didn't jump off the rails. They had a plot to it. I like the dad.
Okay, Keith.
Yeah.
What's the plot? Seriously. The
plot. Okay. Yeah,
there's no plot.
There's a little bit of, there's no plot. There's no take on the whole entire thing, but stuff happens. You know, the guy, he has a father, you know, he's trying to open up for shows and stuff like that. And, you know, I ain't trying to give no spoiler alerts of what happens to him, but he ends up opening that up. Stuff like that, little things like that, but that's what the way they're shot. That's the way these new indie films are shot, and I enjoyed it because they took a metal take on it. And I think it's easy to stick through, but it's newer stuff. It's new indie filmmaking, and that's how they all work. And we'll watch enough of these shark movies where you'll notice it.
I've watched a shit ton of shark movies. I've also, unfortunately, watched a lot of Dustin Ferguson movies. This is not how independent movies are made. This is not how any movie is made. I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you on that. Maddie and Monster, what do y'all think?
Unfortunately, yeah, like you said, John, this is not how a lot of independent movies are made. This is how and I love, you know, Mark Polonia, but this is how Mark Polonia and, you know, David Sterling and movies like that are made, movies that are shot in like 2 days and filled with stock footage. And, you know, like, I mean, everyone probably already knows I really hate this movie. I mean, it's not good. Nothing, like you said, nothing happens. I can't really stand Sean C. Phillips. So when he shows up to watch the Dolphins and kind of overacts in all the scenes, it's kind of annoying. And just, again, nothing happens. It's just a lot of stock footage and talk. I mean, I'll give him that the ending isn't quite memorable, but it's like a what the fuck type of thing that maybe could have worked if the rest of the movie just kind of worked with it. But not really. It's this movie's just a fucking mess. I'm sorry. It's just a lot of talk and a lot of filler, like you said. And I mean, you know, I don't really want to talk shit on Dustin. Like I like Amityville Toy Box and some of his stuff. I don't know. He's better at documentaries than making shark movies. And he's making a sequel to this. Yeah, documentaries are right. Like,
well, okay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If Dustin's making a sequel to one of his movies, and this isn't me talking shit, you can go watch his sequels. Because I was about to say, have you seen the sequel to Amityville Toy Box?
It's
barely got an hour worth of material, and 15 minutes of it is recycled footage, which is what he did with his Camp Blood movies, which is it's what he always does. So the sequel to this movie will probably have 10 or 15 minutes of this movie in it.
Oh, it probably somebody
will. Remembers what happened before.
Didn't one of the Camp Blood movies have like 15 minutes of things?
Oh, yeah.
Someone was watching things on TV.
Yeah, the Camp Blood, the same trick that he did here, only did it a lot worse in the Camp Blood movie, where she's watching other stuff that has nothing to do with the plot, but it's just to fill the movie out. And then you see 15 minutes of her shopping, and then 15 minutes of flashbacks to his other Camp Blood movie. And then you get about 10 minutes of original material at the end, which, ironically enough, he mines that 10 minutes and the 15 minutes from the previous movie for the third movie that he did. So it's and then apparently one of the Camp Blood movies recycled footage from one of his other massacre movies. So
Did it?
Yeah.
It's just disappointing. I just think he could do better if he like took his time with stuff, but
he
it's
could
just
do
so much filler.
Well,
I keep thinking I'm gonna watch one of his movies and enjoy it more, but I mean, Toy Box is the best movie he's done, in my opinion.
Toy Box isn't great, but it's at least
it's a fun story. For what it is. I mean, I love that old Amityville movies, and I
Toy
appreciate
Box
what
is the only movie he made where it's got an actual story.
This movie is just sorry,
but like again, I forget the so-called sequel. You know, at the end of Toy Box, there's a couple of looks like they're going to be characters that continue in the sequel. But the sequel ignores those characters and just reuses 15 minutes of footage. And it's somebody else that went to a toy store and bought the monkey. That's
And it's got the guy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Monster, you haven't had a chance to give your 2 cents on this one.
Well, for me, this is the first Dustin Ferguson film I've watched, period. So that's why I kind of wanted to pick this one, was because I wanted to see what people are talking about, you know, when they talk about his films and stuff. And this one actually has been one of his more popular ones, Apex Predators, which, like we said, he's got a sequel coming out, which, I mean, no offense to the guy or anything, but I don't know who wanted a sequel to this movie, because there was no real movie to begin with this one. Like you said, it's mostly filler. There was like Sean C. Phillips trying to smoke weed, but he doesn't even take a hit, and you see no smoke come out of his mouth. It was all basically everything was pretty much almost stock footage. I mean, even the beach stuff looked like stock footage from somebody else possibly shooting it. I mean, he might have shot some of it, but the dialogue doesn't work. There's no story. There's no shark attacks. You see a shark from like above, and like some stock footage of shark, but nothing that's like real actual sharks. There's no actual on-screen kills, period. So like you don't even know who the hell's even killed or whatever. I don't know. So I mean, you know, if that's what the kind of movies he makes and that's his style, that's his thing. But I mean, I don't know, because this is the only one I've ever seen. But I mean, it wasn't good by any means. Even the movie that shall not be named was a little bit more entertaining, because at least I thought something might happen in that one. And in this one, I didn't expect anything to happen because it didn't look like anything was going to happen. So at least in that, you know, Bigfoot versus Megalodon, I at least was thinking, oh, maybe they'll have a fight at some point. So it kept my attention for that span, just to see if anything was actually going to take place in the verses, which it never did. But at least it held my attention for that little aspect. But this one, yeah, it was just, I mean, it was kind of hard. It's really hard to follow because you don't even know what's really going on, because all it is there's a resort that's opening up and people are getting killed and blah, blah, blah. And there's, like you said, a bunch of filler that has nothing to do with sharks or the film really or anything. Just some talking and random whatever. I don't know. It's like he just tried to put it out too fast and just wanted something out there with his name on it. That's what it felt like. It didn't, you know, it was like, there's no passion to it, basically.
Yeah. This is your first Dustin Ferguson flick. So I will tell you my experience has been, and I've seen, not on purpose, because I found him during a Camp Blood marathon, and then the Amityville marathon he showed up, and then this. The dude is, I don't even want to say lazy, and I can never really remember, but there's kind of like a, I don't know, it's, the guy just doesn't put any effort in. And everybody always says to me, well, if they're that bad, how does he keep making all these movies? And I have a theory. And I'll throw this out to Maddie and Donovan, because you both have been involved in and around independent releases. I don't think he spends any money, really, to make these things. So if you don't spend a whole lot of money, it's not that hard to turn a profit just by crapping them out on Amazon and maybe selling a few DVDs here and there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he uses, you know, like the kind of gimmicks. Like, sharks are real popular right now. Of course, I'm going to go to Walmart and buy Apex Predator since it's a shark movie. People love the Amityville movies. Of course, people are going to watch Amityville in the Hood, you know?
Yep.
And that's what it is.
They're decent titles and the covers look all right. So, I mean, I could understand somebody buying it on a whim and then boom, you know, and like you said, if he only spent maybe he spent a couple $100 to get, what's her, Brinke Stevens in there or Brinke whatever.
Stevens,
She's clearly, clearly had her for like a day, because she's in like
one. And Mel Novak, he had so too.
Maybe he spent that's like $200 on that. But other than that, like, I mean, what the rest was like gas money to drive down to the beach and shoot whatever he actually shot or whatnot. And some of that stuff even looked like there was green screens for some of it, too. So I don't even know.
Yeah, some of it did.
Some of it was probably not even shot by him. It was shot by somebody else that sent to him, and he just added it in. You know, that's what it looked like to me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to hate on the guy, because I know exactly what he does, and he does pump out a ton of these, and people buy them. And I have seen people saying that they were excited to see Apex Predators 2, and I'm like, I haven't even seen the first one, so I can't say what I think about it. But now I have, and I can say, it's literally up there with the movie that we say shall not be named, and it's pretty much on the same wavelength as that. So
yeah, except that guy probably spent more money on his film.
Yeah.
And ain't know that shit. I mean, he definitely spent more time on it.
I mean, we'll get to it when we cover the second one, Bull Shark, but Bull Shark is basically what Apex Predators was striving to be, but couldn't be, which isn't good by any means, because Bull Shark, we'll get to that a little bit here, but that wasn't good either. But I mean, but so yeah, I don't know. I mean, that, like I said, that's my first time watching any Dustin Ferguson film, period. I mean, I know a lot of people hate on him, and I know, you know, I know some people that work with him and like him as well. I know both sides of the stories of everything. I don't know the guy personally or anything. This is the first movie I've even seen of his, but I mean, you know, there was really no passion and it looked like no effort even put in.
I haven't seen one of his films, with the exception of Amityville Toy Box, that I feel like he put any effort into at all. And this is maybe movie number 10 that I've seen of his. I don't watch him on purpose. I just keep tripping over him. during marathons and shit. But yeah, and you know, let me say this. Given the fact that he has the same people that come back and work with him, and I see the same faces again and again in his movies, he must be a nice guy. Otherwise, people wouldn't work with him. I just feel there's a... he just doesn't care. He's cranking these out to make a few bucks here and there. And, you know, I'll go back to every penny that somebody spends on one of his movies, supporting an independent film, and every bit of shelf space that his movie takes up in a big box store, because occasionally they do show up in a pack or whatnot, is a movie, is a spot that a filmmaker who actually cares and tries to do better is missing out on.
Yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah, I did notice he when he hit that vape, there was no smoke coming out of there.
Yeah, I know. I saw that and I was like, really? I was like, bro, come on. At least like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least blow some kind of smoke or something to make it look like you're actually, because they're talking about getting high the whole time about weed and this. Yeah. And I didn't get to say this either, John. I got to say this. That soundtrack is horrible. The whole score, soundtrack, any of the music in it, any of it, no matter metal, rap, any of it, just horrible.
Again, probably the worst part. It was probably some dude that lived down the block, so he didn't have to pay any money for it.
Yeah. Was
that the rap stuff? Dustin's singing, rapping.
Oh God, I don't know. But if it was, it makes a lot of sense. Because hey, if he does it himself, it's free.
And well, like John said, none of that, like, anyway.
Yeah, like John said, none of that stuff fit the actual scenes, and that was the problem with it, is they didn't put it in any rights in the right spots, and it wasn't good music to begin with, and it wasn't put in the right spots. So
yeah, all right,
yeah, that's the first thing I know. So I had to comment on that before we pass on.
We're to the magical spot now. I'll go ahead and tell everybody. Fins down. This is a garbage. This is a dumpster fire of a flick. There's not even any joy to be had ripping on it. It's just soul crushingly and mind numbingly bad. So that's from me. Maddie.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately I have to definitely give this a fins down. I don't know. Part of me is interested to see how the sequel is, but at the same time, I feel like, again, I think he could do better if he took his time with stuff, but this movie is just a fucking mess. I'm sorry. There's really, like you said, John, there's really nothing to see here, unfortunately. I hope the sequel's better, but I can't say my expectations are too high. I mean, that ridiculous ending is kind of funny. I mean, but it happened so quick, and it's really just kind of out of left field. That's maybe the only memorable thing. Otherwise, it's just kind of a forgettable movie of a lot of filler, walking, talking, and stock footage. So, yeah. Sorry, I got to give this a fence down.
No sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me make a prediction for the sequel.
Yeah.
Number one, you'll get about 10 minutes of this movie in the sequel.
Yeah.
Number two, that ending that you were talking about, which we won't spoil here, but that ending you were talking about will probably have nothing to do with the sequel. I've already been burned on his Amityville movies, setting shit up that they didn't do anything with, they completely ignore. Yeah. All right, Case.
Yeah, if they killed the cat, you know I'll watch it.
Yeah. Keith.
I'll give it one little bubble, one or two bubbles for the smoke that he did not smoke. But I will say it did have metal music at the very beginning, and that was very cool. So he gets two bubbles.
What the hell's bubbles? Is it fins up or fins down?
I'll give it.
It's like a what the fuck did we start with bubbles?
Just lets out two little bubbles and keeps on going. Out his port, or what is that? His port, whatever.
Okay, I have no idea.
yeah.
It's not a mammal, so it's not a whale. It's not breathing air, so it's not got a blowhole, and it's not going to make any bubbles because it's a shark. But, okay. Monster, what's your pick? So you get the last final word.
John, it's a shark fart. Two bubbles. Anyways. of course, I'm going to give it a fins down. There's just no passion in this film whatsoever. Luckily, it's only an hour long. So, I mean, we only wasted an hour of our lives. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a shark movie, this is not an actual shark movie.
I don't even feel like they wrote a script. I feel like most of the dialogue is all improvised.
Yeah, no, I assume a lot of it was, but I assume they had some sort of script. But I assume, of course, yeah, you could tell a lot of it, the dialogue was improvised. I mean, pretty much almost the entire movie was improvised. But
yep. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go to the second part of our double feature, where we watch Bull Shark. Yeah, it's not as bad as this one, but it's not a hard bar to clear. So, we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most massive carnivorous ground beast in the world. Over 2,000 pounds and 18 feet of gut-crunching, man-eating terror. By its size alone, it can overpower and devour any human. The deadliest jaws on land belong to Grizzly, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
All right, we're back. We're going to continue our exciting trip down the shitty shark movie lane. This is the second part of our double feature picked by Monster, and this is from 2022, Bull Shark. Monster, you want to tell us what happens in this one?
Yeah, I don't keep as detailed plot line information as you, though, but because I don't really keep any. But this is basically another one of the it's almost like Apex Predators in the fact that there's really no story to it, essentially. But this one is there's a small town with a Texas in Texas, because it tells you on the guy's uniform he's a Texas game warden. It's a big old patch on it that says in huge letters Texas game warden, so you don't forget throughout the entire movie of what his actual position is. But anyways, so it starts out with this guy and he's waking up in bed, you know, and whatnot, and you know, getting ready for his day at work, and he pours his thermos full of alcohol, and you find out, you know, throughout the movie that he's a recovering alcoholic, and he's trying to be sober, but things are hitting the shelf, or shit's hitting the fan, should I say. And you know, so he's been indulging a little bit, at least for a little, for the beginning of the film, because at one point later towards the end, he kicks the habit again and is going sober again, you know. And he does have a sponsor, and he talks to him and all that. But basically, it's about him, and there's another guy in town, this crazy weirdo guy who is trying to write a book at one point at the end of the movie. He's talking about writing a book about the adventure of all this crap that went down. But so he has a shark on the back of his truck, and it's supposedly dead because he had stated three times over, I think it was maybe three or four times over, that he poked it with a stick, so he knew it was dead shark because he poked it with a stick. But he had a shark in the back of his truck that was supposedly dead because he, like, again, he poked it with a stick, so that should tell you that it's dead, right? But so he pokes the shark with the stick, and then the guy tells him, the Texas Ranger, you know, he meets up with him, shows him the shark and stuff, and he's the Texas game warden, sorry, not ranger, game warden. So stupid. But anyways, so he tells him, hey, well, you know, go get rid of it, because if people see this shark here, they're going to think we have a shark in our lake, and they're going to freak out and blah, blah, blah. So the guy takes it, and of course, what does he do? He dumps it into the lake, right? Because he didn't want to take it anywhere else, and it's dead because he poked it with a stick. Again, he poked it with a stick. So anyways, so then, you know, supposedly what happens, what they say is it was bloated and pregnant. So then I guess the baby shark got out or something. And then it's all of a sudden the same size as the other shark that was its mama, apparently. And at some point they say it's like a I think they said like a 9 or 7 footer or something like that. I can't remember, 7 foot or 9 foot or something like that. So it's supposed to be really big, but even though it was literally just born like a couple of days ago, or, you know, because the movie only takes place throughout like a, with a span of like a few days within a week, you know, like within a week. But, and it's the same thing, like basically like another wannabe Jaws where they kind of, it's like they, you know, they should be shutting down the lake because people are dying. But then, of course, nobody shut it down. And then they need a patsy. So the Texas game warden is their patsy. So it's up to him to stop the shark that's killing people on the lake, which kills about like 3 people or 4 or whatever. But again, it, just like in Apex Predators, you don't actually see any kills. There's no kills in it that you actually see. There's more inference in this one than there is in Apex Predators. So at least it makes it look like there's a shark attack happening. But there's essentially no kills in this one either.
They kill a dog, which pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah, but no real, I mean, no kills, kills, like on-screen kills, of course. I don't know. This is another mess of one, and I mean, that's basically what happens. I mean, there's not too much to it, and they try to pull off a Jaws ending at the end as well. You know, I don't want to say which one, but one of the Jaws endings, you know, the most famous pretty much one. But, you know, they try to do the same thing like every shark movie does.
At least they didn't, I was waiting for Smile, You Son of a Bitch. And they didn't do that. So
it's like, oh, that's a genius idea. The same idea that every shark movie has used after Jaws did it first. But yeah, you know, whatever. But yeah, I at least thought the acting was kind of decent. Like I said, that's what I was going to say is like, at least I thought like in Apex Predators, you know, it was horrible. And this one, Apex Predators is like trying to be like this movie where it has decent acting and filler. Because that was at least entertaining filler and some decent acting in this one. So it wasn't as bad, being that basically neither one of them have a plot and there's no sharks or kills or anything really. I mean, there was a few shark scenes in this where they show, you know, CGI shark and stuff like that. But it's still, again, it's not good. There's no actual, you know, biting or anything like that, which I don't understand. Nowadays you can do practical effects that still can convey that a shark, you know. Why don't you go in a little makeshift? I mean, go buy one of those little Walmart, you know, cheap Walmart pools and film it underwater in your own backyard and make something look like it was attacking some. I mean, at least do something that cheap and easy. But I don't know. I mean, this one looked like it had a kind of a decent budget to it too, because actually this film looks really, really good. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, plot wise, there's really that's essentially the plot. The guy's drunk and. The shark gets put in the lake, people are dying, they want to say it's his fault, so it's up to him to stop shark, and what does he do with typical Jaws ending, you know, so, but that's it. So, what do you guys think?
Well, here's the thing. The movie's called Bull Shark, so I expected it to be about a bull shark. This movie should, if the world was fair, this movie should have been called... what was his freaking name again? I forget. I think it was Spencer or whatever. But anyway, this movie should have been called Drunken.
Yeah, Spencer. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Drunken Spencer and his failing marriage, annoying son, and witty banter with people. Because that's mostly what this movie is.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. The redneck that shows up a little bit here and there I poked it with a stick. And the other thing is like at the end of the movie, they're like, do you have anything that explodes? And he's like, well, we want some C4. And they're like, what? But it's just kind of right. Like that character is sort of fun. And I also feel like, see that? Yeah, I mean, like that, but I had hope. Because that first kill where the random girl goes into the lake in a bikini and she's swimming, we get an overhead shot. Uh-huh. And it's actually really pretty looking of the CGI shark swimming up behind her. I'm like, okay. Unfortunately, they blew their load there because everything else is lame and off screen. And then you have the sheriff, dude. why do people keep shooting at a shark with a handgun? Like,
right?
Like,
and period.
Yeah. And it's not like the sheriff who gets killed is on a boat. He's on a tiny ass little dock, and the water around the dock has got to be all 3 foot high. There's no way a 9 foot shark is cruising around that. But okay. If you're going to shoot at the shark, which is stupid, walk 6 feet onto solid ground where there's no chance it can get you. Right? I mean, the movie just, it has some funny stuff. And I will say, for the people that made this movie, I do feel like you tried. You just didn't make a good movie, but you tried.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, that's what I was saying. That's what Apex Predator strives to be like this, is at least they were trying to be like, hey, we tried, but Apex Predators did not really try. This movie actually did try. But no, I wanted to say about that guy with poking the stick. Did you see the little bit of stuff after the first bit of credits at the end?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where he's writing his book. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he picks up a little tiny stick. Like, yep. He's going to poke
it. Because he's going to poke the shark. Yeah.
Poking stick shit. I swear to God with that stupid shit. Anyways.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Monster? I want that movie.
Where he fights it with the stick?
No, I want that movie where that guy's the main character fucking around with the shark.
I guess, so yeah, do I. It was hilarious.
It would have been more entertaining than what we got. So, yeah. I give it.
I just think they're two different style of movies. I think Apex Predator was more of a regular shark movie than the one before that.
Keith.
Yeah.
Can I just point out something about Apex Predator?
Yeah.
It's a shark movie without a shark.
It truly is, though.
Yeah, so it's not even a shark movie.
I didn't get that. But the plot synopsis to it was fucking a little different. I thought that was good.
Maddie, you haven't talked about this one much.
No, I haven't. I mean, so this was the second time I watched it. The first time I was pretty bored and wasn't a fan. And I mean, the second time I watched it, I think I was able to enjoy it a little bit more. I mean, it's not a great movie. I wish I liked it more than I do. Like you said, like the redneck guy is pretty funny. I mean, some of the story's all right. The CGI shark is not great. I wish they had maybe more money, but like you guys said, they really did try with this one. It's not terrible, but it's not great. The ending is pretty anticlimactic, like you guys said. You know, the way they kill the shark or whatever. It's just, it's not terrible. I wish it was better. I really wish it was better, because it could have been so much better. But
do you know what really sort of bugged me?
What?
There was a really weird thing that bugged me about this movie.
Yeah.
The stupid CGI flies.
Oh yeah.
They see, because like every time there's two scenes with the dead shark, and it's these CG. They spent money to CGI in flies.
Yeah, and the CGI wasn't good.
No, but you know, it's like, why would you spend money in that? You just do what every classic Hollywood movie has done, and you insert buzzing sound and have the actor like wave their hand like they're swatting some away from themselves. That works.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I just, also one of the things about the plot synopsis, I also was like, hey, wait a minute, how did that giant shark, because they make the assertion early on that, you know, the shark had a pup, and when the dead shark went into the lake, the pup got out.
Yeah.
But that meant it would be a baby shark. But then there's also other dialogue that says, no, there were two sharks. One of them has much smaller teeth. So, and mama wouldn't let baby hunt. Now, we all know, having done enough shark bites, that sharks are not very maternal. And they wouldn't hang out with one another. But I think they were trying to course correct or something through the dialogue that the big shark wasn't actually dead, which also doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Because I mean, the guy poked it with the stick, so it had to be dead.
I think I'm fairly certain that that's science. If you poke something with a stick and it doesn't move, it's dead.
I mean, that's been around.
And how long was the shark out of water?
Oh, yeah. The shark came out of the ocean. It was in the back of his pickup truck.
Flies. Enough that there was fake CGI flies flying around it, apparently.
Yeah.
Because when he first shows the dead shark in the back of the truck, before he lifts the thing, you hear the buzzing. Bzzz, and it's like,
exactly.
There's flies on it. So it's been out of the water long enough for flies to start, you know, trying to eat it. So,
I mean, he poked it with a stick.
It was amazing to me. It did look real, though. It did look real a little bit there. No, I was a little amazed by that. No, but I seriously did. I thought they were real flies.
Well, that's because you was hitting the bong, dude.
Yeah.
The sober people here on the show will tell you it did not look real.
Now, what are you going to do? It kind of had an effect on me where I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But then not much else happened CGI-wise. They didn't. I think they're talking about monsters. They didn't do nothing else CGI-wise. They had some flies, and then everything else was nothing.
Yeah, well.
It did like 10 minutes of CGI work on that whole movie.
But we did learn if you poke something with a stick and it doesn't move, it's got to be dead. So we learned some science.
I mean, that's just science. I mean,
yeah, you know. That's science.
You ever see the movie where those group of friends that were all young went out into the woods and went to go find a dead body?
Stand By Me.
Yes.
All-time very classic. Good. Yeah.
Classic. I love that Stephen movie. King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what those flies remind me of. When they poked a stick, found the body and ended up poking it.
Okay, so I'll go first and just tell everybody. I mean, there's a couple things about this one, but it's still got to be a fins down. It's not a good movie, and it's not worth checking out. We'll go Keith.
I will give it 2 fins down. No bubbles, no nothing. Freaking, I don't know. After we talk about some of it for a little bit, I'm like, yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, I thought it was like it was real boring and everything. It was interesting to see what the cop was going through and everything like that. But I didn't. If you're gonna base it, and how we base movies on this show is no CGI, no gore, no nothing, just one big fucking tragic story. So. Is more drawn. I think this double feature was more about what the fuck was going on in their lives than a fucking shark. So zero nothing. Don't even throw a shark in there or a fin or anything.
Maddie.
I really wish this movie is better than it was. I think that's what bothers me about it. It's just like we already said, it tried. It has some fun points and stuff. I mean, I definitely... Unfortunately, I have to give it a fitness down, but it's not the worst. I mean, if you love shark movies, you can still check it out. Just don't expect much. And I wish it was better. I'm, for some reason, sad it's not better. But, I hope the director of this goes on to make something, you know, better and gross as a director. Because you can clearly see they tried and... Guy has talent and everything, so. But yeah, I unfortunately got to get a fins down.
Okay, and again, this was Monster's second pick, so we'll go back to Monster, and we'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, no, it's basically, it's kind of like, it felt like it was two different stories pieced together to me, kind of like, you know, two different people had two different ideas, and one of them was like, hey, what about a shark in the lake? And the other one's like, hey, well, I got this thing about this drunk, you know, law officer, you know, and they kind of just threw those two together to combine for a feature length film. That's kind of what it felt like to me. There was some decent acting and stuff in it. This story was kind of here or there, whatever. The CGI wasn't good or anything. There's really, and it's only a little over an hour as well. It's not much longer than Apex Predator. So, I mean, it's, you know, but like we said, there it seems like there was some passion in this. The guy does have potential.
whoever directed this guy or girl, whoever it is that directed, I don't know who directed it. I didn't look, but it looked like there was, you know, they have potential and stuff, but yeah, they need, just need to find a good combination of what they're doing. And, you know, this is almost like somebody had watched Shark Lake and wanted to do a Shark Lake type of thing, but not as well. And they couldn't afford Dolph Lundgren. So, I mean, you know, but yeah, so I give it a two fins down, but, you know, only because it's not really a shark movie again. There's really nothing happening, although they at least have some sharks in this, unlike Apex Predator, it was just stock footage. At least there are some CGI stuff in it and whatnot. And there's, like I said, some decent acting. There are a ton of flaws and stuff. And there's some very clever camera work, I do have to say, though. Like, you know, trying to, when they show the cut on the boy's leg at towards the end of the film, and the way they do the angle, you don't really get to see if there's even a cut, but there's blood and stuff. So, but the one plus about this movie, basically the best thing about it was it looks fantastic. So whatever equipment they had was top-notch equipment. You know, top-notch cameras and stuff, but other than that, you know, it's really not worth watching. So like Maddie said, it's just that it has potential, but it just fell short. So yeah, I hopefully maybe this guy does something good in the future, you know, but just kind of needs to like take a look at where the stories are going and see if the two stories are something that are cohesive together when combined, which I didn't feel like these two stories were necessarily. But I mean, it was interesting, the guy going through, you know, the AA and all that. I thought that was kind of at least somewhat entertaining a little bit, as opposed to after watching Apex Predators and seeing nothing whatsoever that was entertaining. So I know, and I'm not trying to talk crap on Dustin Ferguson. I'm just saying that movie wasn't good, man. But so yeah, I give this one two fins down also. So
hey,
but at least I picked the two of the worst movies for a double feature. So I picked the worst double feature, and I take pride in that. So yes, really? Thank you.
Okay. This movie, I just want to point this out because it's something new to us. This movie is on the Freevee service, which you can watch with ads. It's kind of like Tubi. And I actually really thought that was a pretty interesting service, and they do have some stuff. I think it used to be IMDb TV.
Yes, it did. Yep.
And the one thing, none of us really like this movie, but the one thing I will say is I'm fairly certain we did get that line, and it will come back up at some point when we're reviewing another movie. Somebody's going to say, you know, he should have poked it with a stick.
Right.
To make sure.
Poke it with a stick.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. Poke it with a stick.
For sure.
So. I was just like, how dumb is that? I was like, really? And because he repeated it over and over so many damn times. It was like, dude, you don't need to say it. Keep saying it over and over. Like, we get the fucking point. That's why I said it so
many times. Monster. Monster. He poked it with a fucking stick. How could it still be alive? I mean, come on.
You know, I think that's going to go. I think that's going to go up with the damn sharks by the damn dam.
Right? Yeah.
There are movies here and there that either intentionally or unintentionally just put something into the show dialogue that we're just like, oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that again.
Definitely.
Like, How would you have known? You know, watch it. We'll cover Deep Blue, and it'll be like, well, before he checked and stuck his arm over there, he should have poked it with a stick.
And then if we see anything, we'll be like, hey, did you see that part where he poked it with a stick in this one? Like,
do you think that movie, I don't think those two movies were worse than the one that we can't name. I don't know if go that
bull,
far. Like,
bull shark,
totally,
bull shark.
I was like totally by
bull
like
shark, no, but like, Apex Predator.
If we had to redo the list of the worst thing we've ever watched, I honestly at this point, due to complete lack of effort, part of the filmmaker, I think I got to pick Apex Predators.
I think I would have to agree with you, Joe.
Even though the movie that Sean named is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I will say the guy at least put time and effort into trying to do the animation and stuff.
Yeah.
That's very true. That
Apex Predators feels like over a couple of different weekends, he threw actors together, had them shoot some scenes, and then in the intervening week, shot a bunch of stock footage. Mm-hmm. and then tried to make something out of it, which he failed.
Yep.
That list is long, John. The list is long.
Well, it is the Shitty Shark Show, so we are liable to pick some shitty movies.
Yeah. What about 90210 Shark Attack?
Right. Yeah. Which wasn't good either.
It's better than
Apex. Well, yes. But
Psycho
still,
Shark,
still,
Japanese
wasn't...
Jaws.
Oh, God. But Psycho like Shark. Said, ooh, Psycho Shark.
But like John said, it's not a high bar to clear when we're talking about the movie that shall not be named Apex Predators. Those aren't high bars to clear. So
well, and let's be honest. The show's not called The Really Good Shark Show.
No, it's not.
It's not called the We're Covering the Best Shark Movies of All Time Show. It's called Shitty Shark Show. We're covering shitty shark movies. That's the whole point.
Speaking of shitty shark movies, hey, Maddie, what's your pick for next week? See how I did that professional podcasting style?
Well, so since 4th of July is coming up, I wanted to cover another movie from, you know, the most popular shark franchise. And I want to do Jaws 2. I know that one gets a lot of hate, but spoiler alert, I'm a fan, so I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about Jaws 2.
Who the fuck hates on Jaws 2?
A lot of people, apparently. People think it's a shitty sequel, but I think...
You know the people that hate on Jaws 2 have not seen Apex Predators.
Exactly. But yeah, right. I'd love to talk about Jaws 2. I think it's great for the 4th of July, which it'll be past the 4th of July whenever we record the show.
No, but we could watch it on the 4th of July, so that works.
And maybe I will.
Yeah.
So I'll celebrate my 4th of July watching Jaws 2. That's I don't know too many 4th of July movies.
I always watch Jaws and Uncle Sam for 4th of July.
Yeah, Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam's a great 4th of July movie.
They just played that a bad movie bingo. I adore Uncle Sam. I got the VHS with the lenticular cover. I got the Blu-ray. It's such a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Uncle Sam's a great flick. So, all right. Well, does anybody else have anything to talk about before we get the heck out of here?
Don't think so.
Monster, do you have anything to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, I did go up to Hollywood and film a extra. I was an extra in a buddy of mine's movie, Greg DeLisso. I don't know if I met last time or not, but.
Oh, yeah. No, but
yeah, I went up there and filmed it. Was
a great
it was
guy.
Yeah, it was a great experience, and I loved working with that guy. It was a hell of a lot of fun. So I'll be in his film, Bad Brain. At some point, you can find me in his film when it comes out. So look for that. There's a ton of great people. It's a really great script. I've met a bunch of the actors, really great actors. So it's going to be a good film. So check that out. And that was a ton of fun. So
love that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Hey, Maddie. Maddie.
Yes.
When are we going to shoot? Because we can get it all done in one afternoon, I think. But when are we going to shoot Diarrhea Shark?
Soon, I hope.
Yes, because Tim Gross is all ready to deliver the tacos, and we'll just have to make sure. And of course, I'm going to cater it on my dime. So there's free food for the cast and crew. Basically, because we need a shit ton of empty Taco Bell wrappers.
Will I be there? Will I get to eat Taco Bell?
Yeah, you get to eat Taco Bell.
Nice.
You're the star of the show, buddy.
Yeah, you are Diarrhea Shark.
Yeah, I bought a 12-pack of hard tacos for me and Lil Mark today.
Yeah, so, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, be on the lookout for my directorial debut, Diarrhea Shark, starring independent film movie star Tim Gross as the dude who delivers the tacos, because Diarrhea Shark is too lazy to drive down to Taco Bell.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Diarrhea Shark's just going to, you know, call up. I'm trying to think of the name, because I'm going to do a hat and everything for Tim, and I think it's going to be like Yinzer Hub or something like that, you know?
Oh, my God, yes.
That's
incredible.
We also need to make sure we have, like, because we want to show that Diarrhea Shark has a terrible diet, so I do need a dingo pizza box for the background.
Oh yeah, we gotcha.
Yeah, so all right, well, everybody. Have a safe 4th of the July. I hope that we all get to July 5th with the same amount of digits as we started off the 3rd with.
Let's hope.
That's a fancy way of saying don't hold the firecrackers, Keith. Don't hold
I know. The firecrackers. That's why I hold them in my hand and I light them with my hand and then I let them explode right in my hand.
Wait, you can set your hand on fire? You can, like, make your hand just spontaneously combust?
I've been lucky over the since I was a kid, you know, all my aunts and uncles and stuff like that, they used to put fireworks, M80s, in their hand and light it off and just let it go in their hand.
I tried. No way. Jesus somebody Christ. Hold them. Nobody holds a fuck. We're not talking about a lady finger or even a black cat.
Nobody ever lost a finger. Nobody ever. That was the crazy thing about it. Nobody
held on to an M80. That's a quarter stick of dynamite, dude.
Right. Exactly.
As big as it gets, unless you can find somebody with TNT, then. Jeez.
Oh my God.
July.
All right. Kids, don't hold firecrackers.
Yeah.
But do that not PSA.
Try that out. I don't recommend it. I'm good at it. I've been trying.
Hey, Maddie.
Dom.
Say goodnight, Maddie.
Good night, Dom.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show.
And don't get bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys fucked that up, but that's okay.